Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text 51. Shri Narada Ubacha. The great said, thus Lord Nrisimhadev was pacified by the devotee Prahlad Maharaj with prayers offered from the transcendental platform. The Lord gave up his anger, and being very kind to Prahlad, who was offering prostrated obeisances, he spoke as follows. Please repeat after me. The great saint Narada said,
the great saint Narada said,
thus Lord Nrisimhadev,
was specified
by the devotee Prahlad Maharaj,
with
prayers offered from the transcendental platform. The Lord gave up his anger, and being very kind to Prahlad, who was offering prostrated obeisances,
He spoke as follows.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Nirguna is important. The Mayavadi philosophers accept the absolute truth as Nirguna or Nirakara. The word Nirguna refers to one who possesses no material qualities. The Lord, being full of spiritual qualities, gave up all his anger and spoke to Prahlad. So, Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Bande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagra Jatam Shahagana Raghunathan Nitam Twang Shajivam Shadvaitam Shabudhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Nitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranam Mami Hari Priye Bancha Kalpatarubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebho Vaishnavebho Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivashadi Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama One name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is Bhakata Vatsala. One who is very compassionate to his devotees and one who always gives protection to his devotees. Perfect example has been cited by Lord as Nrisimhadev. Nrisimhadev appeared simply to give protection to Prahlad Maharaj, who was only a six-year-old boy at that time, and his father was the greatest of all demons. He was the king of the demons. And not only he was the king of the demons, but he was so powerful that he practically drove the demigods out of the heavenly planets and took over the charge of the universe, and he took over the kingdom of heaven. He was so powerful that even the demigods used to tremble with fear when he just expressed any dissatisfaction towards them. So such a powerful demon, Hiranyakashipu, decided to kill his son, Prahlad, because he became a devotee. Hiranyakashipu, in spite of being the father of Prahlad, he actually gave order to his army to kill Prahlad. And the reason he gave was that just as one poisonous tree destroys the entire garden, just as a little fire inside a tree can burn up the entire forest, similarly, one bad child or one bad member of a family can destroy the whole family. So it is better that that unwanted member or that unwanted element should be killed. It is better to get rid of that unwanted element. So he was so merciless that he wanted his six-year-old child to be killed. And we can see Prahlad, although his father wanted to kill him, he could not actually do anything to him. At first, the demoniac soldiers of Hiranyakashipu attacked Prahlad with their weapons. The weapons that could pierce the bodies of the demigods, the weapons that could even inflict injuries in the bodies of the demigods, still those weapons could not harm Prahlad Maharaj, although he was only 6 year old boy at that time. When Hiranyakashipu saw that his soldiers could not kill this little boy Prahlad, he became even more determined, and he ordered that Prahlad should be thrown in a blazing fire and he should be burnt alive. And upon Hiranyakashipu's order, a mountainous fire was lit. They piled up logs like a mountain and lit that log into fire, and then he threw Prahlad Maharaj in that fire. But still, that fire, that blazing fire, could not do anything to Prahlad Maharaj. And it has been described that to Prahlad Maharaj, those flames of that blazing fire appeared to be as cool and as soothing as the touch of the lotus petals. Then Prahlad was made to drink poison, then the Prahlad was thrown in the pit of snakes. Not even the pit of snakes. It was described that celestial serpents like Takshak, Ilapatra were called and they were asked to bite Prahlad. But still their poisonous bites couldn't do anything to Prahlad Maharaj. Finally they were crying, they are pleading to Hiranyakashipu that our fangs are broken, our sacks of poison are empty, we are completely exhausted, still nothing is happening to this boy. So what should we do? Then Prahlad Maharaj was thrown from the top of a mountain, still nothing happened to Prahlad. Finally, Hiranyakashipu decided to throw him in the ocean and bury him with the piles of stones. And he did that. He was thrown in the ocean and huge boulders were thrown over him so that he could be buried under those piles of boulders. Still nothing happened to Prahlad Maharaj. Actually, this is an example that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants to protect somebody, no one can do anything to him. Prahlad Maharaj's example is a perfect example for that. Hiranyakashipu was not an ordinary person. He was endowed with inconceivable power. He practically became immortal, and he was so powerful that he drove the demigods out of heavenly planets. He took possession of all the three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Such a powerful person became Prahlad's enemy. And Prahlad did not actually try to defend himself. He was only depending upon Krishna. Instead of defending, Prahlad was only depending. And Krishna gave him all protection. And when Krishna protects somebody, who can do anything to him? So this is actually a very wonderful example for all living entities, that all we have to do is just to depend upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And whatever the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants, that will be. If Krishna wants to kill, then no one can protect him. We have seen that also. Hiranyakashipu himself is another example. When Krishna wants to kill, then no one can protect him. Hiranyakashipu had a extremely powerful army. The army that defeated the demigods. Not only Hiranyakashipu himself was powerful, his army was also extremely powerful. And that army tried to defend Hiranyakashipu. They're fighting with Lord Nrisimhadeva. And Hiranyakashipu himself was so powerful that he was practically immortal. He had the benediction from Brahma that he wouldn't be killed by any weapon, he wouldn't be killed by any human being or demigod or a serpent or an animal. He wouldn't be killed either in the space or land or water. He would not be killed either inside the house or outside the house, inside a room or outside a room. He would not be killed during the day or during the night. So many conditions. And as a result of that, he became practically immortal. But when Krishna wanted to kill, no one could protect him. There had been so many such examples. Another example was Vanasura. When Vanasura wanted to fight with or started to fight with Krishna, then even Lord Shiva sided with Vanasura. But still, nothing could protect Vanasura. So we can see that when Krishna wants to kill somebody, then no one can save him, no one can protect him. And on the other hand, when Krishna protects somebody, no one can harm him. So that is Krishna's inconceivable potency. He is the supreme, absolute, powerful personality. So who can be more powerful than him? Therefore, the best thing that anyone can do is to become a devotee of Krishna. When one becomes a devotee of Krishna, then Krishna gives him all protection. Krishna made Arjuna announce very openly, very loudly, that Krishna's devotees will never vanquish. And it is said why Krishna made Arjuna to make that announcement. The reason is Krishna himself sometimes breaks his promises, breaks his vows. But Krishna's devotees' vows never go in vain. Therefore, one could think if Krishna made the announcement or Krishna made the promise that his devotee would never vanquish, then one could think that, well, Krishna said that sometimes Krishna breaks his promises. So there is no guarantee that Krishna will give protection. But when Krishna devotees make that announcement, it has been completely confirmed that his devotees will never vanquish. It is literally meant that Krishna's devotees will never vanquish. Ultimately, living entity's business is to become a devotee of Krishna. It is unfortunate actually when someone decides not to become a devotee. The most unfortunate thing that can happen to anyone is not to become a devotee of Krishna. And when someone deviates from Krishna consciousness, or when someone stops to become a devotee of Krishna, then his whole life becomes very, very miserable. The material platform we are seeing, everyone is suffering so much, irrespective of one's situation in the material platform. Whether one is rich or poor, whether one is old or young, whether one is healthy or weak, everyone is suffering in this material nature. And that suffering is simply due to one's rejection. Simply his deviating from Krishna consciousness. Therefore, time and time again it has been pointed out in the scriptures that one must accept the process of Krishna consciousness. The scriptures are giving that instruction for the benefit of the living entities. Therefore, those who are real well-wishing friends of mankind, they go out and preach this process of Krishna consciousness. Not for their benefit, but for the benefit of others. Therefore, just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Bhakta Vatsala, the devotees of the Lord are Parodukho Dukhi. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is very merciful to his devotees. And he gives all protection to his devotees. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has some condition. Like, unless one becomes a devotee of the Lord doesn't go out of his way to give him protection. He takes care of everyone, there's no doubt about that. Krishna maintains everyone. But he doesn't go out of his way to bestow his mercy upon the living entity. But the devotees of the Lord are more merciful than the Lord. Therefore, just by seeing that how the people are suffering in the material nature, they go out of their way to rescue them. We can see how Srila Prabhupada, at the age of 70, when he was naturally at the age of 71, is quite old and frail, and one cannot afford to be as enthusiastic and as active when one is young at an age like that, at the age of 70. But even at the age of 70, Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world to distribute Krishna consciousness. Why? Because he was concerned about the living entities in this world. This kind of mercy is displayed only by the devotees of the Lord. And also another wonderful example is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Why Krishna is more merciful as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Who knows? Yeah, because he is in the mood of a devotee. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes as a devotee, he becomes more merciful. So, also another example in this respect is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining what actually causes one to receive devotion to Krishna. Devotion is a very, very rare thing. Devotion to Krishna is very rare. And how does one receive devotion? And explaining that point, he's saying that Krishna actually doesn't give devotion himself. Because if he did, then it could have been said that Krishna is partial to someone. And Krishna is, that he is giving devotion to some and not giving devotion to others. But we know that Krishna is completely impartial. Then how does some receive this devotion to Krishna? And he is explaining that one receives devotion simply due to the mercy of a devotee. Another thing that he mentions there before that is that devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, bhakti, is actually the cause of all benedictions. Like the greatest benediction that one can receive is in the form of devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This devotion to Krishna is so elevated, is so wonderful, that it far supersedes the platform of liberation. It's far beyond liberation. Generally people think that liberation is the most wonderful thing to achieve. But compared to devotion, liberation becomes rather insignificant. So how does one then receive that very rare devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And it has been explained that the devotion is received by the mercy of a devotee. Krishna himself is neutral about the living entities. Krishna himself says, okay, it's up to you whether you want to become a devotee or not. He doesn't force anyone to become his devotee. But a devotee may force others to become a devotee. And that's why devotees go out and preach Krishna consciousness. This preaching is actually a means to distribute Krishna to others. The purpose of a devotee's preaching is simply to give Krishna to the other living entities. So in this way we can see how the devotee of a Supreme Personality of Godhead is more merciful than the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes two points. One is, he is explaining the word nirguna here, that often people think that, or the impersonalists try to impose, that the word nirguna that has been explained here means, literally this word, or literally the Sanskrit word may mean that one who doesn't have any quality. Guna means quality and ni is negative. No quality. So the impersonalists make a mistake here, thinking that this word nirguna implies that the Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't have any quality. And they come to the conclusion that the Absolute Truth is devoid of quality and devoid of any shape, devoid of any form, devoid of any potency, etc. But according to the proper understanding, the devotees of the Lord know that this nirguna means transcendental. Nirguna actually implies beyond material gunas, beyond the mundane platform. The Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't belong to the material nature, therefore he doesn't have any material qualities. So he is devoid of material qualities, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't have any qualities. His qualities are completely spiritual. And then Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that how Nrisimhadev became pacified due to Prahlad Maharaj. Actually, after killing Hiranyakashipu, Nrisimhadev was so angry, his anger was practically frightening everyone. Even Lakshmi Devi was afraid to approach him. He was so angry. Different demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, were present there, but even they were not feeling comfortable to approach him. At that time, Brahma pushed Prahlad Maharaj, said, "Go, you go and pacify him." So Prahlad went to Nrisimhadev and started to offer prayers, which has been described in the previous verses. This is actually the statement right after Prahlad Maharaj finished offering his prayers. Then Narad Muni made this statement, what happened at that time. So when Prahlad Maharaj started to offer prayers, then Nrisimhadev became pacified. And he was actually at that time, due to his affection, he was licking Prahlad Maharaj's body. Just like a lion expresses his affection to his son, to his cub, Nrisimhadev was expressing his affection to Prahlad Maharaj in a similar way. Later on we will see, at that time the Supreme Lord wanted to offer Prahlad any benediction. He asked Prahlad, accept any benediction. You ask any benediction from me. And Prahlad Maharaj very wonderfully told him, "My Lord, what is the use of any benediction? What is the use of trying to enjoy this material platform? So all I want is just to become a devotee of yours, so that I can always remain your devotee." So that is the prayer of a devotee. Devotee doesn't want any material benediction, because anything material is completely insignificant to him. What to speak of anything material, even liberation is insignificant to him. Mukti yatha mukulitanjali shevate ashmin. Even liberation personified with folded hands tries to serve the devotees of the Lord. Therefore, a devotee doesn't desire anything from Supreme Personality of God. Pure devotees. There are mixed devotees, those who want material enjoyment, material
possessions, material assets, they actually worship or render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for some material benefit. They are called karma mishra bhakti. They are devotees who desire material return from the Lord. But they are not actually devotees. In the Vedic scriptures, they have been described as people, those who are trying to do business with the Lord. They offer something to the Lord, some service or some objects, to get some better, get something more from the Lord. But a devotee's attitude is totally different. Devotee's attitude is that he doesn't desire anything from the Supreme Personality of God. Anashaktasya Vishaya. He is completely detached from the objects of the senses. Therefore, he does not have any need of any of these objects of the senses. He is detached from the objects of the senses. Therefore, he does not have any need of any of these objects of the senses. He actually desires the ultimate object of the spiritual senses. That is the Supreme Person, the service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Time and time again, Srila Prabhupada pointed out that a devotee is so absorbed in serving Krishna that he doesn't have any concern for his own sense gratification. He's so absorbed in, his senses are so absorbed in serving or giving pleasure to Krishna's senses that he doesn't have any consideration for his own sense gratification. And therefore a devotee, whether he is enjoying in the material platform or suffering in the material platform, doesn't care. It is like he is so intoxicated in offering service to the Supreme Lord that he does not have any concern or consideration for his own enjoyment. So from Prahlad Maharaj, we are getting a very wonderful example of how to become a devotee and how to depend upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question or comments? Okay, yeah.
If somebody is not able to be on this platform, he has considerations for his own sense gratification.
What's that?
If somebody is not able to be on this platform, this pure platform, and he has some considerations for his own sense gratification, what should he do?
Well, one may not be perfect at this point, but he should try to become perfect. Imperfection means desire for sense gratification. And perfection means total consideration or total concern for Krishna's pleasure. Now, if someone is not completely pure, or if someone is not free from desire for sense gratification as of yet, he should keep trying, he should keep rendering devotional service. How many stages are there in devotional service? Can you tell me?
How many stages?
Basically, there are two stages of devotional service. One is called sadhana bhakti, and the other is called prema bhakti. The sadhana means, sadhana bhakti means devotional service in practice. And prema bhakti means loving devotional service or perfected devotional service. So before one becomes perfect, one must practice. So initially, one is meant to practice devotional service. So while practicing, he may, or rather, when one has material desires, he still can carry on practicing, and by practicing, he will become perfect. And when he becomes perfect, then he'll become free from all material desires. The main thing is that there are two considerations here. One is, like, one should always feel that it is actually detrimental. This desire for sense gratification is detrimental to his spiritual progress. He should be aware of that fact. And he should pray to Krishna that he helps him to get rid of these detrimental things. One should not think that, well, now I've become a devotee, so I have full license to sense gratification. One shouldn't think that. And that's why we have a very strict consideration of following these four regulative principles. As long as one follows these four regulative principles strictly, he'll gradually become free from sense-gratifying propensities. Prabhupada used to say that this is real austerity in this age. To give up meat eating, to give up intoxication, to give up gambling, to give up illicit sex. This is austerity in this age. Although in the other ages, you know, that is a common thing for any gentleman to do. Anyway, the main point is that one should, if one feels that tendency to be driven to indulge in sense gratification, then one should remember all the time that it is actually, it's going to be detrimental to the spiritual life. Another consideration is, as long as we have the bodies, as long as living entities have the bodies, the body will demand certain degree of sense gratification. It cannot be avoided. But by practicing Krishna consciousness, it will gradually disappear. And we notice how it happens. Like when we become devotees, often it is seen that devotees are very fond of eating. The other day somebody was telling me, one devotee was telling me that when he first joined, he did not actually like to eat so much. Even before he joined, he was not so fond of eating. But then, in one Sunday feast, he got the taste of the halwa. And he just kept on eating and eating. So the Bhakta program leader, when he saw that, he said, so now you're becoming a devotee. So this is how... the point is that one, in the initial stage, one becomes very fond of eating. Like Prabhupada once told me, that take care that the devotees get nice prasad. See that devotees get nice prasad. And then he said, this is the only sense gratification they have. So devotees have only one sense gratification, that's to eat prasad. But we see gradually, devotees also lose the taste for eating. Then they, in the initial stage, one loves to eat prasad, of course. But then gradually he loses the taste. Why? Because then he gets higher taste. There's another taste where, which is higher than this gratifying our tongue, although with prasad. Is it clear? Any other question? Okay, Hare Krishna. Yeah. So now, just a moment, I have one little announcement to make. I was originally supposed to give initiation tomorrow,
but then I changed my mind, decided not to give. But then one candidate, she was quite determined to get initiation. So finally we made a condition that that she will get her, she'll get initiated, but without the fire sacrifice now. And next time there's a fire sacrifice, she'll sit in the fire sacrifice. That candidate is Bhaktin Miriam. So I'll just give her the bead, provided she takes the vow. And she'll get her new name also. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
Can you straight keep, take it from there? So what are the four regulative principles?
No nudity, no official aids, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit.
So you take a vow to follow these four regulative principles?
Yes.
In the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So how many rounds will you chant?
16 rounds, 25 minutes.
And, yeah. And also, make it a point to not commit the Nama Aparadha. There are 10 offenses to the holy name. Do you know the 10 offenses? What is the first offense?
To blaspheme the devotees who have offered their life to...
Second offense?
To consider the names of demigods like Shiva and Brahma equal to Lord Vishnu.
Or independent of the holy name. The third offense?
To disobey the orders of the spiritual master.
Fourth offense?
To blaspheme the Vedic literatures or literatures in their pursuance.
Fifth offense?
To consider the Hare Krishna Mahamantra as imagination.
The glories of Hare Krishna. Mm. Sixth?
To give interpretation on the holy name.
Seventh?
To commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name.
Eight.
To consider the chanting of the holy name as one of the ritual activities of the karma kanda section of the Vedas.
Ninth.
To give the holy name to a non-devotee.
Faithless person. Tenth.
Even though one has got so many instructions of the holy name, still to have material attachments and not to chant attentively. Mm,
that's another one. The tenth offense is actually not to have complete faith and to maintain material attachments even after hearing so many instructions in this matter. And it's another consideration to be inattentive while chanting. That means one must chant very attentively. When one is chanting, one should hear the holy name, the sound vibration. So try to chant the holy name without committing these offenses. And it's also, we'll also request you to take a vow. That is, not to ever give up the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, which is manifested in the form of ISKCON. So in plain and simple words, don't ever leave ISKCON. So your name is Malati Devi Dasi.